tore between two sermons to try. But we have a lot of problems within the church itself this day and time, understanding about doctrinal matters. So this morning, the subject is going to be the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ is not a physical building, nor is it a denominational. It is a blood-bought body of Christ. Turn over to Ephesians 5, and let's look at 5, verses 26 and 25 and 26. Ephesians 5, 25, 26. Ephesians 5, 25 and 26. That ain't... Well, I don't... Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved his church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water and of the word. So he died on the cross. And I've done a lot of sitting down preaching this last week. Had an opportunity to talk with a fellow that's pretty well versed on the Bible. And he believes everything we believe and teach in the Church of Christ, except he does believe in the speaking in tongues part. And the first question I had for him on that was, did you have an interpreter when you spoke in tongues? He said, no, we didn't. I said, well, I believe you was wrong in speaking in tongues, because the Bible says plainly that if you're going to speak in tongues, have an interpreter. The Church of Christ is a church promised and built by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Over in Matthew 16, he tells us 16, verse 18, and I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. So Jesus is the maker of this church that I claim to be a member of. His interest is not in the physical building. The Church of Christ is not an organization. It is composed of people saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. No more, no less. It's simple. It's not something that's hard to understand. Because when you look around, you think about me and Emerson and Brother Doug Watwood has understood it. And Gene, you can know. There had to be something pretty simple for us to understand it. You know, we're not any of us highly educated. I thought Emerson had about 25 years of college, but he informed me that he quit in the third grade or something like that. So the thing is, though, my point today is we don't have to be a professor of college to understand God's Word. We might have to be a professor of college and have some help from professors and some of these books and things that they've got out on the Bible. Some of these politicians, we might have to have some help to keep from misunderstanding it, because they had a dealing in it. Because these people today that's putting out some awful, awful stuff as far as the Bible's concerned. Daniel 2, verses 44 and 45 tell us the church is a kingdom which shall be begun. It prophesies of the kingdom being. The eternal kingdom was established in the days of the Roman kings. This was during the lifetime of some who heard Jesus speak. So we're told in Mark 9 and verse 1. We'll read Mark 9 and verse 1. Because we need to know about these things. We need to be able to understand enough about it to teach everybody that would ask us for reason of the hope that is within us. Mark 9 and 1 said, and he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, that there be some here standing here which shall not taste of death till they shall see the kingdom come of God with power. I don't think it will have anybody around, you know, us today that was there and heard that being said at that time. So it was prophesied. Then the Church of Christ wears a Bible name that honored Jesus. In Romans 16:16, it says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. The name Church of Christ is a Bible name that embraces all the saved. The Bible gives no specific name for the church. It does, however, identify the church with several Bible expressions. The members of the body are known simply as Christians. When we hear God's word, Romans 10:17, we believe it. John 3:16, we repent. Luke 13:3, we confess. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And then we are baptized. 1 Peter 3 and verse 21 says, the like figure whereunto baptism doth now also save us. Then we are added to the church. And so many times in this day and time that we're living in now, we don't hear all those steps given, or if they are given, they fail to leave off a part that the Lord adds to the church. But brothers and sisters, in Acts the 2nd chapter, in verse 41 says about 3,000 souls were added to the Lord's church. In verse 47 says, praising God and having faith with all people, and the Lord added to church daily, such as should be saved. And that Lord is still waiting today to add you to His church if you're not a member of His church. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, He's sitting on ready right now to add you to His church. I picked Emerson about being, he told us here several months ago, he come in one morning, I said, yeah, I reckon you preaching today. He said, I reckon so. He said, I'm ever ready. So I've been calling him Mr. Ever Ready ever since then. But that's the attitude, brothers and sisters, that we need to have. We need to be ready to go anytime opportunity avails it for us to have opportunity to go and tell people about Jesus and teach about the oneness of the church. Many times, I believe it, I'm not going to speculate. It seemed to me Emerson probably got right on the end of his tongue. How many times in the New Testament does it speak of the church, Emerson? Several hundred times, though, it speaks of the church. So, it is a blood bought thing, and it is one that anybody, see, the beautiful thing about it was the Lord didn't see any race, creed, or color when He was adding to that church. On the day of Pentecost, it told how many different nationalities was there in Acts the 2nd chapter. I believe it said all nations were gathered together there. That's what I believe it said. So that didn't leave anybody out. And that's wonderful, because if we had to be a rich man or a rich woman, there's a lot of us wouldn't be able to be there, would you? We couldn't be there if it depended on money. I don't have much money. I thank God so much for the money that I do have, and what little that I do have, I want it to go for the right things, and that being, I lay aside so much, me and my wife does each week. for the Lord. 114. Okay, we know now how many times the church is mentioned in the New Testament. 114 times. So, it is a point that needs to be drove in because we have so many people that want to add a little or take a little away. And I turn over to Revelations, the last chapter in the Bible, and I read, and it says if we take anything away from God's Word, our part will be took out of the book of life. And then I read a little further, and it says if I add anything to it, that all the plagues of the book will be added to me. Sometimes when I think about how bad these mosquitoes and fleas and things are around about, I think maybe we must have took a little away or added a little to it or something because we're getting some of these plagues. But just think how bad it would be if all the plagues of the Bible were added to us. The example is setting down for the pattern for us to worship. And Acts 2 and verse 4 says that they worshiped upon the first day of the week. Acts 20 and verse 7. On the first day on Sunday, we sing songs. Ephesians 5 and verse 19. Study God's Word together. Acts 20 and 7. We pray. Thessalonians 1 tells us, 1 Thessalonians tells us, I believe it's chapter 5 tells us, to pray without ceasing. So Christians need to be a praying bunch of people. They need to be people that are concerned about the lost. Need to be concerned about the sick. We need to be visiting people. Brother Dove called him yesterday and asked him how he's doing. And did he get a lot of carpentering done? He's been a carpenter now for a week or two. Well, he started this week, I reckon. Probably 7 weeks before he gets done if it's like my carpenter. But he said he took a day off yesterday and went visiting some sick folks. We need to take a day or two a week off and visit some people that are sick and find out what their problem is and if there's anything they need or any way we can help. We need to show the love of God from within our heart. And you can tell a fellow I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. Yes, sir, I love the Lord. I worship the Lord 7 days a week. But if we don't show him some help when he needs help, if we don't love him like we should, he'll know about it and the Lord will know about it. Rome, the city of Rome, Georgia over here, they've got together again and come back on with their little red lights. If you go through on a caution, you don't hear a thing about it till you get the little letter in the mail that tells you how much you owe. That's kind of the way it's going to be with the Lord. But when we get that letter, it's going to be too late with the Lord if we're not prepared to go when he calls. He's coming back. You know, we sing that song several times. Jesus is coming soon. And he's going to come back. If you don't believe that, you study your Bible and tell me that we're not living in the latter days of time. I've been hearing that preached for 60 years myself. But I believe a time is drawing near, brothers and sisters, when we need to be about our Father's business and be serious about our Father's business. And as I had a good friend used to say years ago, we need to stay prayed up and ready to make a trip. Because only those that are ready to make a trip is going to meet the Lord in the air. He said he's coming back. He's coming back to get us. Revelations 20 tells about the judgment and the way it's going to be on the judgment. It's going to be a pathetic thing. If we're not a member of the Lord's church and being a faithful Christian, we're not going to go to be with the Lord. And a lot of people want to get you in trouble and get you fussing about the church. I'm not going to fuss with anybody about it. I'm going to tell them point blank, if they don't go by the book, they're not going to go to heaven. That's just how it is. That's our roadmap. Got to go to Birmingham tomorrow to take a lady to a doctor down there, and I don't know exactly where I'm going, but I've got a map that I can follow, and with a little bit of help, I ought to be able to find where I'm supposed to take her to. Now, the point is this. If I vary off of that any, in other words, Emerson told me a shorter way, maybe not been a shorter way, but a way with lesser traffic this morning to get there. But if I get off on Emerson's train and miss one of my turns, I'm liable to wind up whether in Montgomery or Chattanooga one instead of Birmingham. So I've got my map mapped out. Supposed to get there on, and we're going to try to get the lady there. But you know, if I make one bad turn, I'll have to go back to that point and start again. If we make a bad turn, we need to call on the Lord to forgive us of our bad turns. Don't say, well, I heard a fellow say one time, I ain't done no sin in about 20 years. And I said, well, Brother Watwood's wife repented this morning. And I said, I don't think it hurt every one of us here this evening to repent. He said, we better have prayer then. So we knelt down in the barnyard, in the barn, hall of the barn, and prayed, had prayer. For all of us, not for him, but for all of us. There's not many that don't miss that turn every once in a while. The old devil's out there to cause you to miss that turn. He'll put that big rock out there in front of you to throw you off course. And when you get off course, brothers and sisters, you must come back and repent. Simon the Sorcerer was told in Acts, the 8th chapter, that he would have to repent and pray God to be forgiven of trying to buy the gift of the Holy Spirit with money. A boy got in serious trouble over in Fort Payne this week. I say a boy is 20 or 21 years old. An officer stopped him for some kind of traffic ticket, and he tried to give him $200 to let him go. And he wound up with a $7,500 bond to get out of jail on. When we do the whatever we're doing wrong, we're going to have to get forgiveness of it. And sometimes it's an awful price we have to pay. But if we're guilty, there's only one way, and that's repent and get our lives straightened out and get back in harmony with God. Like Brother Emerson said in the class this morning, if we're Christians and we're out of line with the Bible, we're out of line with our Lord and Savior. And he didn't say this, but I'll add a little to it for him. We're going to go to hell if we don't have our life right when we stand, when we come to the end of life's way. We'll be like a tree in the forest. When it falls, it usually stays the way it falls. So we must go with the Bible. We must worship on the first day of the week. And there's nothing wrong with these gospel meetings, attending them and backing them up, and these singing. Our worship must consist of the Lord's Supper. And a lot of people say, well, why do y'all have to have it every Sunday? Can y'all not remember 3 months at a time, or 6 months at a time, or year at a time? Some of us might not could remember 3 months at a time, or a year at a time. But the thing is, the Bible said that the disciples came together upon the first day of the week for the Lord's Supper. Over in 1 Corinthians 16, first two verses says that we're to lay by in store upon the first day of the week as the Lord has prospered us, that there be no gatherings when he comes. So we need to be ready to give of our means. And when we have a good week, we need, as the old boy would say, up the kitty just a little bit. And if we have a real bad one, I don't think he's going to send us to hell if we don't have money to give. if things has been rough on us, and things is rough on us sometimes. But me and my wife try to purpose an amount to give, and we give that amount regularly, track to. We're not the shining example on it, I don't suppose. But I know back when we were making some pretty good money, why, I tried to give more, and all I got was more blessings for giving more. The Lord will take care of you if you'll let Him. I'll assure you He's a merciful God, a wonderful God, one that will take care of you and go with you all the way, even unto the end, and save your soul at the end of the way, if you'll do it. With you all the way. You know, sometimes friends forsake us. Sometimes family forsake us. But Jesus, our Lord and Savior, will never forsake you. He said, I'll go with you all the way, even to the end. That's the kind of God we're worshiping. That's the way it is today. The main thing is to live right and be sure. The Church of Christ has no religious handbooks except the Bible. We go with the Bible. And I've had people say, well, here's this here. This is a little discipline book we have. I got a little discipline book right here in the name of its Holy Bible. I got a bigger one here and some bigger ones at home. I did find out something good this week from a buddy I'm working with right now. He said over at Lairley they had a bookstore, and I didn't know that. See, that was news to me. And he had a Bible like this, and Emerson likes to play with here on the front bench, about that thick. And believe it or not, us old blind people can read it without glasses. It's got good print. And he said that they cost $6 a piece. And that's not a whole lot of money, you know, for God's Word. We don't think a thing about going down to the rest and spending $10 to get something to eat, you know. And me and the old woman's going to get a couple of them Bibles some of these days pretty soon if nothing don't happen. Because I do. I have time. Right there I got water in my eyes. My eyes water too much and cause me not to see like I need to. But the print on it is good size print. I took his up and just flipped through it, and anywhere I stopped, I could read it. You know, and I'm not talking about in a real good lighted system either. And so that made me feel good to know that I could get one that I didn't have to have my glasses to read. The Bible is something we should apply to our everyday living, just like a lot of people pray at night when they first start to go to bed. They have their prayer, you know, and thank God for the blessings of the day and ask Him to keep them safe through the night and things like that. I'm not saying morning or night, or I'm not saying it at 12 o'clock noon. What I'm saying is, Christians, be sure that you study God's Word. Be sure that you pray to God. Paul told the people that that's nice to pray without ceasing. And that we should pray. Christians should pray. If you want to go to heaven, I dare say everybody on the sound of my voice, if I said everybody wants to go to heaven, raise your hand. Everybody in the house would raise their hand. There wouldn't be no problem about that. But let's go by God's Word then. Let's go by His Word. Let's not take Emerson's word for it, or Wayne's, or Dubs, or anybody's word for it. Dig it out for yourself and know what the Bible says and live by it. Brother Wayne York's with us today, and I worshiped with Brother Wayne about 20 years at Lookout Hall. He's a fine man, in my opinion. And me and him have been friends for many years, as well as brothers in Christ. But I know Brother Wayne will tell you, you've got to study your Bible and you've got to pray. because that's something we've got to do as Christians. If you want to be a member of the Lord's church, you've got to do the thing that I taught my son when he was 3 years old. I taught him, hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized, and the Lord had added you to the church. By the time he was 5 years old, he could tell you whereabouts in the Bible they were located at. And by now, he's 40-something years old, and he knows four times as much about the Bible as I do, or five or six, and that don't make him no wizard at it. But he does know the Bible, and I love him dearly, and very proud of him. And he's been a member of the church for quite a while. He got wayward one time, and Brother Wayne can remember him, and Sister Jane, I know, can, and Brenda can. He come up to Lookout Hall, and I was leading singing that night. I don't even remember who was preaching. I'd go fishing with him when he was wayward, and I'd get him to go fishing with me, and then I'd preach while we fished. You know, I'd do more preaching than I did fishing. But he come up there one night, one Sunday night, to worship with us. I'd been on his hide about not coming to church, so he come. And I'd done give the invitation number before he come. I don't even remember what number I give or what the song was I give, but I changed it on him. I changed it to that, Lord, I'm coming home. I wasted many precious years, but I'm coming home. That night he come home. He's been home ever since. So, we need to preach church doctrine. We need to love the Lord enough to study every day. Now, everybody don't have to get up 4 o'clock like I do and study. Most time, 4 or 5 o'clock, I'm in the Bible and studying and praying. But it's never cost me no money to do it. And I don't think it's hurt my health any to do it, because the Lord will provide. Are you serious about your religion today? Are you serious about the Lord's church? As my old buddy would say, are we prayed up and ready to go? If you've never been a Christian, today would be the day to become a Christian, a member of the Lord's church. If you are a Christian and hadn't lived like you should, you need to get it all straightened out. And then go by what the Bible says, attend worship regular, and grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was Wednesday night, Emerson was teaching, and he read that where he said that we needed the sincere milk of the Word because we hadn't growed as we should. Growing enough to have a strong meats and stuff. So if you've not lived like you should this morning, why not straighten everything out and be right with the Lord? Because there's one thing about it, brothers and sisters. He said in Hebrews 9:27, and it is appointed unto man once to die, but after that the judgment. The judgment's coming. And when it comes, it's going to come on all people alike. He said in Revelation 20, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and a book was opened, and the books were opened. And if your name's not wrote in that book, you're going to be lost eternally. Are y'all prepared, all of you, to meet God today? If you're not, you need to. As we stand together and as we sing.